Currently Kirkland, your source for city news and events in the community. With Connie Turman at the news desk. Stay up to date with weekly news reports and what's happening in Kirkland. Now, here's Connie.
Welcome to Currently Kirkland, where every week you can engage with your community by discovering the latest developments in citywide events. I'm Connie Turman. Climate experts gathered at the NOAA Seattle branch earlier this month to give Puget Sounders a sneak at the upcoming winter. La Nina, it seems, will be visiting the Puget Sound region again this year, bringing with it colder and wetter weather than normal. And though forecasters don't expect these wintry conditions to last into the spring as they did in 2011, they are expecting strong La Nina conditions that will persist well into the winter.
Right. I think that throughout the fall and the winter, I would expect people here are going to have wetter than usual conditions, unusually wet. The best chances for that are in the fall. And then during the winter months, especially January and on, that's when we have the best chance for unusual cold weather. So that's what I think people really should prepare for, is unusually cold and wet weather.
If models are accurate, however, the cold and wet won't necessarily be arriving at the same time.
Based on the statistics from past La Niñas, the best chances for flooding events, the so-called the Hawaiian Pineapple Express, the best chances for that are in the fall. Probably the best chance would be in November, December, somewhere in there. And then for the snowfall, it'd be either a January or February.
Preparing the house for unusually cold weather means wearing extra clothes, stocking extra firewood, and ensuring the generator functions. But cold is most lethal outside the home during times of travel. For this reason, Kirkland's emergency preparedness team is reminding residents to prepare their vehicles for unusually cold weather. This means stocking the vehicle with an extra set of winter clothes, with batteries, flashlights, blankets, pillows, and ensuring the emergency kit is both functional and accessible. It means throwing a couple of long-burning candles in the glove box and always keeping the gas tank at least halfway full, especially when traveling over mountain passes. Flooding doesn't threaten Kirkland like it does other riverside communities. But windstorms do sweep through the area, knocking out power, especially in La Nina years. So, Puget Sound residents should prepare their households by pruning their trees and ensuring they have an alternate source of heat and energy. Generally, the city will respond to emergency snow events by clearing the main roads first. Even in this environment, however, pedestrians should exercise caution when out on a stroll. Bus routes and roads that access the hospital will have priority. And public works crews are prepared to work around the clock to keep the city's most important arterials clear. This is the sixth back-to-back La Nina on record since 1949, and the fourth La Nina winter in 5 years. Fortunately for Puget Sounders, the next winter is shaping up to be a less volatile one.
So actually, looking back in the record to 1950, there's been 5 instances where we have what we call these La Nina double headers, which are years in which there's a La Nina from one winter and then you have it again that next winter. But looking back in that record, so since observations began, there's never been an instance of there being a triple header, so 3 winters in a row. So maybe that provides a little bit of comfort to those of us who maybe don't want a colder and wetter winter this year.
To see the streets the city will clear on a priority system during snow emergencies, visit kirklandwa.gov and type emergency routes in the search bar. When Jane Wernette bought her PT Cruiser in 2006, she was thinking about her backseat passengers. The cruiser's high ceilings made entering and exiting the vehicle painless. In 2008, when gas prices topped $4 a gallon, Jane was thinking about the price of gas. At 75, she was also thinking about a less stressful method of movement. So she stopped by the Eastside Easy Rider Travel Ambassadors Workshop in Bellevue, where a counselor tutored her in the region's public transit system.
I am so tickled that they're coming to the senior center here in Kirkland, because then all my friends can find out about it too, and made me understand how to work it and how to get places, because I love the bus. I go to water aerobics in Redmond, so now I can take the bus, and it's cheaper than my gas in my car.
Kirkland's senior council brought the monthly counseling service to the Peter Kirk Community Center earlier this spring. On the first Wednesday of every month, two members of the senior council show the community seniors how to get around without driving.
Helping people to find rides, whether it be on an access bus or on a regular bus or in some kind of volunteer driving situation to get to the doctor or whatever they need to do. Sometimes it's just figuring out how to get from point A to point B on the bus. There are a lot of us that either choose to drive less or aren't able to drive at all anymore, and so we become bigger users of transit than we used to be, and we have to learn how to do that.
Transportation has been the senior council's focus for 2011. Specifically, they've been working with HopeLink and the City Council to provide better access to the food bank and other stops. But transportation isn't the Senior Council's only focus. Housing and emergency preparedness are its other two priorities. And the Council influences these topics at the state level, the county level, and the local level. As a policy advisory group, focusing on seniors' issues, Kirkland's Senior Council is the oldest in the state, and it is one of the city's 13 advising boards.
I enjoy being involved in a variety of things, and Kirkland Senior Council gets us involved in everything from art shows to legislative issues to housing and transportation, emergency preparedness. We have our hands on a lot of little things, and big things too.
Of all the innovators in the history of our species, and I'm including Steve Jobs, Thomas Edison, and Henry Ford, the one who first walked on two legs has by far been the most influential. Walking on two legs has made us smarter, more endurable, and freed up our hands to pursue other tasks. Our ancient ancestors relied on walking to survive. The world has changed drastically since then. Instead of dodging predators, humans now dodge 5,000-pound automobiles. And in Kirkland, dodging automobiles is relatively easy. In fact, Kirkland is one of the nation's safest places to practice this basic human quality. It was the first city in the nation to offer pedestrian crosswalk flags and the first city outside of California to illuminate its busiest crosswalks with strobe beacons. In Kirkland, the Complete Streets Ordinance says every new road must have a sidewalk and a bike lane. For these reasons, magazines and blogs consistently include Kirkland in their short list of the nation's most walkable cities. Even in this environment, however, pedestrians should exercise caution when out on a stroll. Caution will be even more important on November 6 when daylight savings time ends and the clocks fall back 1 hour. To mitigate these hazards, especially in these darker days, it's always good to remember a few steps. Look both ways. Make eye contact with drivers before crossing roads. Wait for cars to stop before crossing. Use flags and the beacons at crosswalks. If you are out on an evening jog, wear reflective clothing. Well, that about wraps up this week's show. And before we go, we'd like to let you know that you can access any episode of Currently Kirkland on demand on the city's website, on your mobile device, and on YouTube. We'd also love to hear from you. If you have any news tips, suggestions, or comments, please send them to KirklandTV at kirklandwa.gov. Thanks for watching Currently Kirkland. We'll see you next week.